for the last 3-4 years, I don't know how many years, not too many years, they have been doing this, what they call bended knee retreat. And apparently they have done it on a one-day cycle, but in light of our situation, we have had it for 2 days. So I know, friends, we had Oklahoma City came up for, they drove about 4.5 hours to get there. Of course, Pastor Ben Heffernan hosted it, and he did that, and he got back about 20 minutes before he was going to do a marriage ceremony. And so he did that, and of course, our church was involved. And there were other men from Missouri, and other parts of Kansas. So it was a fascinating time. And I was trying to decide, I had a message prepared for today, and then I thought, boy, you know, I think it'd be good for us to get a sense about this bended knee retreat, not just the retreat, but the emphasis on prayer. And I, as a matter of fact, it was kind of interesting because we're sitting at the dinner table or one of the meal tables, and Brother Aaron said, well, what are you going to preach on now that Pastor Nathan's done with his Proverbs series? And I kind of said a few things. I said, but you know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to have you guys give a testimony as to some things that you might have learned. And it doesn't have to be a long testimony. So they agreed to do that. I didn't even have to twist their arm or anything. They were kind of, yeah, I'll do that. I think Ernie was a little hesitant, but, you know, he thought, well, if everybody else is, I guess I better too. So I thought you were skipping out tonight when you came in a little late here. I thought, okay, but we're glad that you're here. So I'm going to ask Brother Patrick to do it first because he's the one who speaks all the time anyway, so he's the most comfortable with it. And then I'll ask Brother Ernie if he could share. And again, it doesn't have to be long, but I'm very interested in your take as to what the Lord taught you. And then, of course, Brother Aaron. And then if they give me any time, I will share some things that I thought would be very good for us to know. So, Brother Patrick, you come.
Good evening. I have my notes.
I want you to know, whenever I have to come down here and sit, I'm always looking at where there's a gap. It's a lesson to learn when you're coming into church. Well, there's no one in that area. But then I'm in a dilemma. I'm sorry. Then I'm in a dilemma because there's my dear wife sitting back here. So if I say here, that looks like I don't love my wife. So and she filled that gap here. So, but of course, I'm going to be going back up.
And the gaps are filled. All right. Good evening. Just want everybody to know I have my notes. This is usually the least amount of notes I have had in a long time. So the Bended Knee Conference. My initial thought on the Bended Knee Conference was we were going to go there and we were going to have some conferences on, you know, kind of how to pray, you know, hey, this is, you know, how you pray and, you know, take us to some verses. And, you know, for some reason I was thinking, you know, maybe that they would go through the acronym PRAY, praise, repent, ask, yield type format and, those kinds of things and, you know, really bring out the aspect of prayer. Well, they brought out the aspect of prayer, but in such a totally different way that I was not expecting. First of all, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, we must have had 4 sessions of corporate prayer. We had one the night we got there. We started out Saturday with corporate prayer. And what I thought was interesting about that corporate prayer is, you know, when you think of, you know, a whole bunch of, a group getting together to pray, you know, okay, they're going to share prayer requests and then they're going to pray. Well, Pastor Ben Heffernan said he wanted to do something different. And so we started the morning with a corporate prayer with the theme, Lord, I thank you for. Lord, that was the phrase, right? Lord, I thank you for. Father, we praise you for. You know, so it was, you know, we started out the day not thinking about ourselves, but praising God. You know, and that put our, I think that put our hearts right in order to get close to God. And that was pretty much the focus of the entire conference was, you know, okay, we're going to entitle it prayer, but let's get close to God. You know, and then throughout the day we had some sermons. And then what it must have been like the afternoon, I can't remember off of the timesheet or the itinerary, but then they come up and they say, okay, we're going to spend an hour in prayer. When you hear the phrase or the statement, we're going to spend an hour in prayer, what usually comes to your mind? Okay, we're going to pray. You know, because really, and he even kind of said it himself, you know, how many people really spend 1 hour a day in prayer? And there's probably, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't that do it, or there are that people that do it. It's just I personally have never spent an hour in prayer. I'm like, oh, man, what are we going to do for that entire hour? And they had these books, and Pastor's going to probably show it later, but they had these books with this information in it. But in Pastor Van Gelderen took a step-by-step through it, and wish we had more time. That hour went very quickly, and it's a, you know, it's a very good breakdown. But that hour went very quickly. You really, you know, the prep the night before and then that morning just set the stage for that hour of prayer in order to get close to God. You know, and to me that blessed my heart. I told the men this morning that, you know, the conference, it was really great. We did everything from laugh to get our toes stepped on, and, you know, and everything in between. You know, but that, you know, that was, you know, a time that I'm like, wow, this was good. That time with God, it was great. I could feel myself getting closer to God. And to be honest, in many ways, it's been a while since I've felt that close to God. So it was good. The other thing, the stepping on the toes portion, and I actually left my outline up there for that. But the closing service, Pastor Byford mentioned that Brother Van Gelderen got up and he's like, well, this is what I was going to do for the closing service, but I'm just going to do this. And what he did is the sermon was called God's Theological Continental Divide. At least that was the sermon title that he gave us. And it focused, basically, the basic focus of it was, you know, how much of your Christian walk is yourself, and how much of your Christian walk is of God. And we know what the answer is. Yeah, we walk, you know, our Christian life, we walk it, but yeah, it should be God. But how much of it is God? And kind of to make a little bit of the long story short, is he actually had a real title for that verse. He gave us a title, but there was an actual title for that verse. And that title is 0%, 100%. How much of our Christian walk is us? 0%. How much of our Christian walk is Christ? 100%. You know, we can't do anything. The main focus of that message was we cannot do anything. You know, it's like Pastor mentioned this morning, you know, well, actually, that's a bad illustration. But the illustration that Brother Van Gelderen used was Peter walking on water. How many people in the Bible walked on water? Two. Peter and Jesus. Now, relating it to how much of the Christian walk is you and how much of the Christian walk is us, what did Peter say? Peter's standing in the boat and he sees a figure walking. What do they say? Who is that? He responds, it's Jesus. And what does Peter say? He says, Lord, if it be you, allow me to come to you. And Jesus turns around and says, come. That's the command. What then did Peter do? Huh? He was scared, but what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. Did it take muscle to come out of the boat? Yes. But he was in obedience to Christ. And he was able to walk on water. Was it him that walked on water? No, Christ allowed him to walk on water. It was all Christ. The point is, you know, things that are impossible, are possible through Christ. You know, and that's where the 0%, because it's not us. It's all Him. It's all Christ. 0%, 100%. So, that's all I have, Pastor.
I don't talk up here much. I planned on reviewing my notes before doing this, but we spent a little longer at my friend's retirement party than I planned on. I went to this thing mostly for the fellowship. I wasn't too concerned about what the subject matter was. Oh, y'all can't see that behind us, but he's got the spending an hour with God outline back there. I wasn't too concerned with the subject matter, but some things that stuck out to me, if I can remember them now that I'm in front of everybody, is kind of redefining what prayer is. Oftentimes we approach it as an opportunity to ask for things. But the idea they posted to us was that it's not a chance to get our will done, but to get into God's will and ask Him to do His will. Their idea was that this is how God works in the world, is that He has a will, and in heaven it's perfectly done, but on earth it's not perfectly done. And that's in large part because we do not ask for it to be done. And they repeated it over and over again about he believes God has a perfect will for every person on this planet to be saved. But God is looking for an intercessor to ask for his will to be done in their life and whether we will be that intercessor or not. So the outline they gave us was start with worship and praise. And then there's some verses to reflect on while you're in this portion. And then take some time to wait on God and to be sure you're in his presence. And this seemed to be more to me like a be still and know kind of a thing. Like don't utter a word until you're sure you're in his presence. And then confession of sin and some time for spiritual warfare. And he has some things to kind of expand on these, even in this journal that they gave us. And then, you know, intercession and petitions. And that's where you ask for things, really. And that was supposed to be 10 minutes, but they said to spend some time. They have another area that breaks down, you know, family, friends, coworkers. It doesn't take long to fill those sections with names, and 10 minutes really is not enough. And then move on to thanksgiving. Thank him for prayers that have been answered. Meditate on some verses that are important. He has a few, and then, you know, obviously some space to record your own. And then listen. Wait for God's will. And he gave us a section, and he said it's important to actually write something down for each of these things and record it. Anyhow, that was really my experience and some things I wanted to share about the thing. Yeah.
One thing Ernie pointed out was something that I had an experience with too, was that the 10 minutes for intercessory prayer was nowhere near as long as it needed to be. I felt I was maybe a quarter of the way through it when he said, okay, time to move on to the next thing. And I realized that, wow, I'm blessed with quite a prayer list of people I know that I can reach out for. I've got some a little something prepared here, but just in Ernie's talking about that, I've realized that was something I had as well. But I'm going to look down and read off of this and just pretend you're not here because I haven't done any public speaking and probably since high school. so if I'm a little nervous, I apologize. But I put this together this afternoon, and it was just what the Lord laid on my heart. So good evening, church family. As you know, the retreat this past Friday and Saturday was about prayer, but I can't talk to you about prayer without first publicly thanking each and every one of you for being here, for being members of and visitors to this church. This church, you are an answer to prayer. It was quite the struggle for Eve and I to find a church home over the last 2+ years since we've been saved. Before the Lord led us here, when someone asked me how they could pray for me, the answer was always an immediate, pray my wife and I would find our church home. And though it was a struggle, looking back, looking at what we learned in the process, looking at the discernment we were taught, the incorrect doctrine that we were exposed to, it all strengthened and solidified our faith. There are areas of study I would have never dug into had it not been for all the incorrect doctrine I was exposed to. And I see the Lord's hand in all of it. So I'm grateful for the experience and grateful for the rewards reaped on the other side of the journey. And if I had it to do all over again, I would. And as I stand here tonight, I can say without a doubt, the Lord answers prayer. You have all, through your service to this church family, through your testimony, through your cheerful giving, through your concern and your support for one another, through your love for one another and your love of Jesus Christ, have been a help and inspiration, and I love you for it. So thank you. The retreat opened this weekend with a message on hindrances to prayer, and the message drilled down into some specific issues. But for me personally, there were two broader takeaways. The first is something I believe I first heard out of this pulpit, and something that has been a recurring theme at our men's breakfast. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder. A parallel observation I've made quite a bit in these past years is it doesn't matter what people say, watch to see what they sink their time into. People put effort into the things they care about. So if one says prayer is important to them, if one says their walk with God is important to them, but they're not praying on a regular basis, not taking steps to grow in their prayer life, they're a liar. I've long told myself I'm going to get better at prayer. I've long told myself I'm going to pray more often. I've long told myself I'm going to establish a prayer routine. What I realize this weekend is I stand before you tonight, a liar. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you." We are not as close to God as he wants us to be. We are as close to God as we want to be. I am only as close as God as I want to be. And if prayer is one way to draw close to God, this weekend I learned I'm only as close to God as I want to be. The second takeaway from that message is the concept of selfishness, the opposite of selflessness. When I think of selfishness and selflessness, small examples come to mind, like when you make the decision to leave the corner of a piece of birthday cake, like when you make the decision to take the corner piece of birthday cake or leave it for the next person. The speaker put forth the idea that at the heart of all sin is selfishness. The speaker put forth the idea that at the heart of all sin is selfishness. So, and that's something that really struck home for me. When we choose to do our will, we are choosing to please ourselves, not God. We are being selfish, rooted in self. We are not dying to self. We are choosing to do what is right in our own eyes. We are choosing ourselves. We are not choosing God. This is not a Christian concept. This is a concept that applies to humans and our free will, Christians and non-Christians alike. In the human legal system, we talk about victimless crimes. But brothers and sisters, there is no such thing as a victimless crime. Everything, absolutely everything, comes down to choosing to do God's will or choosing to do our will. Do we choose what God would have us to do, or do we choose instead to do what we want to do and sin against a holy God, against our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who selflessly paid the price for all of our bad decisions, past, present, future, on the cross? When a Christian chooses self, they're separating themselves from God, not in an eternal sense, but in a relational sense. When a non-Christian chooses self, they're separating themselves from God in a relational sense with eternal consequences. God created all of us for relationship with him, and anyone who chooses otherwise is solidly out of his will. And that's why it's easy to make the statement that you're either moving towards God or away from God. There is no standing still. You're either actively making the choice to draw nigh to God or to retreat from him. So how can you pray for me? Pray that I will be wise enough to choose to draw nigh to God.
It's wonderful to be involved in retreats like that, revival meetings, church services, fellowships. All of those things mold us, and it helps us in this area of living for God. Luke chapter 11. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. The scripture tells us, and it came to pass, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And what we see here is that, you know, I'm sure that those disciples prayed. They grew up talking to the God of Israel. They had the entire Psalms to speak to them and had David illustrating prayer. You could go through the great prayers of Solomon. These were very devoted Jews. And some of them weren't necessarily godly, but they had grown up listening to the prayers. They could have read the prayers of Nehemiah. They could have heard the cry of Jeremiah. And yet, when they looked at Jesus, they said, there's something different about that prayer. And all they could say by looking at his example, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think about how we as church Christians, you know, we come to church, okay, we have a song, we pray. And this is one of the things that was so refreshing when Pastor Nathan came, is he was saying, okay, let's look at these words that we're reading. Let's see this verse beforehand. Because if we're not careful, we can just become creatures of habit. But it's one thing to say, okay, I've watched how people pray. It's another thing to say, now that person's really praying. Teach us to pray. I've been on a journey for years trying to think, Lord, teach me to pray. And I've been wondering, you know, Lord, can I do this better? I have established a prayer journal for years that I use. And I have a systematic way in which I pray. And it's divided between worship and thanksgiving and expectation and submission and needs and confession and deliverance and then praying for individuals. I have your name in here. And I pray for those of you that are members of our church. And I have, you know, on Tuesdays, I pray for our country. And on Wednesdays, I pray for certain individuals. Thursday, I pray for our missionaries. Friday, you know, I pray for those who are needy, people who are suffering or maybe have handicaps. Saturday, I pray for preachers. Sunday, I pray for churches. Yes, I'm saying that I've done this for years. I've had times where I was less consistent with it than I needed to be. But I have tried to do that. And that's why I can say often that I pray for you. Now, it's one thing to have somebody come up to you and say, you know, I got this need. Well, I'll pray for you, brother. And then you don't even think about it anymore. That's very deceptive. And again, maybe we intend to pray, but it's easy for us not to pray. Well, so I went to this retreat thinking, okay, I know the Van Gelderens. I know they pray. They have done victory conferences for years. They've had Rick Flanders up in his conference. They've had great saints of the Lord who have ministered in these conferences. Brother Tom and I have been to some of these. I think no one else has gone to Menominee. Is that right? Yeah, so Brother Tom, I think you're the only one in here that has gone up to that. And it's been very fascinating. So I knew that these people prayed. And when they said, we're having a prayer retreat, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, teach me to pray. And so there's much that we could say about it. But I wanted to share something with you. And again, Brother Ernie shared with you, and he kind of rattled off some things that I want to show you. And it's good that you mentioned those things because I want to go back to them. There's an area here called a daily journal, which I have done for years. I could go back through the history of the last 36 years of our ministry and show you how God has done miracles. Now, I mentioned this morning about miracle workers. Well, I'm real hesitant, or I'm very suspicious of so-called miracle workers. But I am not suspicious at all that God works miracles. And I've seen those. There's a prayer help. There's place for small groups, sermon notes, church calendar, and so forth. So they gave us this. Now, if you can go ahead and put that up, Brother Patrick, because I want you to think about these words, spending an hour with God. And, you know, and I have to admit that I don't spend usually an hour. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But this whole idea of taking time to pray. And so what they had done, and he had put together this little sequence or this outline of spending an hour with God, I want to kind of share this with you a little bit. Because I would encourage you to spend more time in prayer. And to recognize that praying is not, okay, I got to close my eyes and think. Because if you're anything like me, you're very distracted. Now, some people are less distracted than I. Now, Aurora's very distracted. You know, and if you were 4 years old, you'd be distracted too. So we have these distractions. Our attention spans are various. You know, how many people can just sit there and say, okay, I'm going to just focus and listen to every word you say? My mind's wandering all the time. You know, the brain works so much faster than when you're reading. So, you know, so when you think, okay, I'm going to bow my head and for one straight hour, so it's 6:45 right now, I'm going to bow my head and for one straight hour, I'm just going to talk to God. I don't know, I'm sure Jesus could do that, but I don't know if that's being very, very practical. Okay? So the one reason we have Aurora in here is because she gets taken out if she doesn't behave, Aurora. Do you understand that? Okay, you need to pay attention, all right? Do your very best, all right? So it's important that we understand that this whole idea of praying, there can be a sequence to doing this. Now, I based my prayer journey through the Lord's Prayer, and I've shared that with our people many a times over the years. You know, our Father which art in heaven, which has to do with worship, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, I look for the coming of Christ, thy will be done, you know, submitting to God. And that's where all these categories that I had in my prayer journal come from. But I thought, you know, I'm going to listen to what he's saying here, because I'm here to be taught to pray. And the way he, Brother Wayne Van Gelderen dealt with this, he said, now I want you to understand that there's different ways you can pray, but he said, I'm going to give you a method and I want you to try to follow it. And he asked us to commit in the next 3 weeks to pray 1 hour a day. And so when someone puts me under pressure like that, my natural tendency is I'm not going to let him tell me what I'm going to do. I'm going to not commit to that. But I also knew that there's a tendency for me, when I don't commit to something, I tend to not do it. So I committed for 3 weeks to do this. And it was very difficult because I knew that I had a wedding to go to. I was going to get back about 11:30. I got to get up and be ready to preach Sunday morning. And I thought, well, you know, it's going to be very difficult to find an hour this morning to pray. Now, I could have done it this afternoon. I could have done it tonight. But I thought, no, I'm going to commit to that. And as it turned out, who am I to complain? These two, how late did you get done with your wedding? 9. Now, of course, they were the first to leave other than us, you know. But think about that. So, and they made church a priority. And one of the things that we have to understand when we're talking about saying, okay, I'm going to set aside a time that I am going to just spend with God. What is that saying? That says that's going to be a priority. Because you see, we can spend hours on YouTube. We can spend hours on Facebook. We can spend hours on things that really, in the end of things, you know, I can watch a ball game. I can watch the Royals lose, and it takes me 3 hours to watch them lose. You know, so you know. In other words, things take time. So, I don't know what the other men committed to in this, but I just thought, you know, this would be good. I thought, let me show you the method. Now, what he did with us is he said, okay, I'm going to give you this little outline here, and I don't know how much you can read that. Can these lights go out here on the side, Brother Tom? Can you see the words okay? Okay, it's a little... So maybe get us... I'd rather be in the dark than for them to not see this. Okay, these two... there we go. That help? Okay, good. Thank you. So basically, what you see there is he has... And this is what Ernie just went over. That he has a subject, and then he has a page to it. Now, the page to it is in this little journal. And so you go to page 2 and you'll see things on worship and praise. And of course, there's a time signature at the side of that. And so what you do is he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. So it'd be just like if we were to do this right now, which we're not because we don't have an hour because we don't have time. We got to let you go home, right? But the focus is this. If you had this time, say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes just praising and worshiping God. And if you notice what he has there, glory in God's unique greatness. Now, what he has here, and this is something I have done in my prayer journal. I look at the attributes of God. And he's got several columns of God's attributes. He's good, he's wise, he's omnipotent. So, in other words, okay, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm going to spend 5 minutes to just simply praise God. So, let's take 10 seconds to praise God. Can we do that? Lord, thank you for all you are. You are so great. You are so mighty. Amen. Now, do that for 5 minutes. Put you in a state of mind. You say, oh, I couldn't do that. Okay, do it for 1 minute. Do it for 30 seconds. Whatever you do. Now, if you're going to do it for an hour, this is the format he gives. Now, after you spend about 5 minutes focusing on God, you're forgetting about all your problems. Or you're trying to, because our minds do work. But, you know, you're saying, okay, I'm not going to concern myself with the things of this life. I'm talking to God. A.W. Tozier has great messages on the person of God. I'm pretty convinced most Christians don't know what God is like. They're picturing this guy up on a chair up in heaven looking down at them. That is not what the Bible says about God. When you are omnipotent and omnipresent, that means he permeates everything. Secondly, waiting on God. Now, this is something that I haven't necessarily done, but I thought this was somewhat an interesting concept, and I just want to pull up a couple notes here. This waiting on God, he points out, if you could read this up there, focusing on your relationship with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And to take 5 minutes focusing on what we know about the Father. Who can tell me something about God the Father? He's creator. All right? Who could tell me about God the Son? Something about Jesus. Okay, he's a Savior. What about God the Holy Spirit? Okay, he's a Comforter. Now think about that. Just wait on God. That's what he's saying there. And it's focusing on that. And I think the key there is yielding to Him and saying, okay, Lord, I surrender all. During this 5 minutes, God, I just want you to know I'm yours. And I surrender to my Father who cares for me. And I surrender to God the Son. I surrender to you because you love me. And I surrender to you, Holy Spirit. Now, we have just spent, if you're doing this, 10 minutes focusing on God. Then he gets into the confession of sin. I think, again, this whole idea of sin in the Christian's life is totally misunderstood. I'm always leery when someone says, oh, I sin all the time, because I'm thinking, if you sin all the time, that's a problem. On the other hand, there should be some periods of time where we are having victory over sin. Now, but when I understand the concept, because all of us have sins of commission that we've committed, but there's also sins of omission, right? So there are things that I should have done I didn't do. When I didn't pray, then that's wrong. When I don't witness, that's wrong. So there is this sense in which we have to confess our sin. Now take 5 minutes, and I like what he says here. Allow God to convict of sin specifically. So in other words, we don't want to say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. No, Lord, I lusted today, and that was wrong. God, forgive me. Or God, I reacted angrily, and that was wrong. And to say, God, forgive me. Now, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins. Think about this. Now at this point in your time of prayer, you are totally free to come boldly into the throne of grace. For him to give us those requests that we are going to ask of him. Now, there's going to be a warfare. And he suggested, and this is what he did with us, and this is what I think Patrick mentioned, that, I didn't seem to have enough time. We basically, he said, okay, right now do this, 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, say, hey, now do this. And that's what he did with us. So, but, you know, there is a sense of a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. And he mentions the spiritual warfare. Let's see, let me turn to page 16, which talks about just remember you're in a battle, but also remember this, the devil's defeated. Now, can I say that again? The devil is totally incapable of doing anything without the power of God allowing him to do it. Even God had to say to Satan, okay, you can do this, but you can't do that. And according to, and again, you'd see this, according to this, that we do have, we have to understand, God, Satan does not want you to pray. Claiming promises. Give me a Bible promise. Somebody, I am with you always. Someone else. Okay. He'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What else? Never leave. See, we could spend 5 minutes, and it may be a matter of saying, you know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And if you go to chapter 30, you know, and you might have to get on your concordance or something. Where is that verse? I know it's there somewhere. And go there and just meditate on that. And you're going to find out 5 minutes goes by very quickly. And then you have here number 6, intercessions and petitions. Now, I think it was Brother Aaron that mentioned, I got a big list. This is one of the reasons why I pray for, I have you on a daily prayer list. I have my family on a daily prayer list. But I don't pray for the government every day. I pray for them on Tuesdays, or our missionaries, you know. And again, we can do that on Wednesday night. But I have a time where we pray for our missionaries. But nonetheless, there are certain things you want to pray for. You have certain needs. We're praying for little Rachel and her health. We're praying for Brother Chuck and his work. We're praying for this new baby and the parenting skills of Pastor Nathan. So we want to take each other seriously when they ask for prayer requests. And spend about 10 minutes doing that. And then Thanksgiving. Thank the Lord specifically for His working in response to your prayer. You know, this, and I've been convinced of this for years, this will help keep you from being bitter people. If I sit there and focus on all the negatives of life, I can get bitter. But thank God for all His marvelous works. Meditation and discovery, 10 minutes. Now, I took this to be, this is when I'd get my Bible. Because you see, prayer is a two-way conversation. Prayer is, okay, so I'm reading my Bible. So this morning, I'm thinking, okay, during this time, what's my Bible reading for the day? My Bible reading for today was Job chapter 23 and 24. Now, I'm in that incredible passage in the book of Job, in my Bible reading, where they're just arguing with each other. You know, the three friends of Job are saying, you know, you're a sinful person, Job. This is why you have all these problems. And Job's saying, I'm innocent. I don't know what God's up to. And I want you to go to the book of Job. Let's look at this. Job chapter 23. And I'm not going to preach a message on this, so you can all have a sigh of relief. All right? But this is what I saw this morning. Now, it's good when you read through your Bible every year, because this is not the first time I saw this. Matter of fact, C.H. Spurgeon has a great sermon on prayer that is based on the verse I'm going to show you. But so you have in Job 23 and 24 that Job is answering his critics. So I read 23 and 24, and it took me 6 minutes today to read those chapters. So I thought, okay, I got 4 more minutes to meditate on it and think about it. And, or at least to consider it. And so I read the passage, I meditated, and this is what stood out to me. I saw in verse 5, in verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him. So Job is saying, man, if I could just get a hold of God, that I might come before his seat. Verse 4, I would order my cause before him, and this is Spurgeon's sermon, and fill my mouth with what? Do you know what a lawyer does? He argues a defense or guilt. And arguments are not, I'm yelling at each other. Arguments is, okay, I need this to happen because of number one, because of number two, number three, number four, number five, or whatever. Your Honor, my client is innocent because, number one, he wasn't there. And number two, he would just never do that. And number three, the other guy's a rascal. And, you know, in other words, they're giving these arguments. And Job said, if I could just come before God, I would really lay out my case. And verse 5, I would know the words which he would answer. If I could just come before him, I'd listen to his response to my arguments and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? In other words, is God going to... You know how it is when you're arguing with somebody, they're just trying to shut you up. Let me give you the one argument that would make you say, oh, I never thought of that. Is that usually what happens when you get an argument? Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you this. You know, and you get going back and forth. If God were laid out his answers, you would say, oh, okay. We're going to stand before God one day and every mouth will confess that He is Lord. But Job said, you know, unlike you guys that are just putting me down, God, if He spoke to me, He would put what in me? I'd be stronger. All right? Now, you spend 10 minutes, and then you say, oh, I don't have enough time to come up and read a passage. You see the problem. But the fact is, meditate on those things. Listen to God. Now, notice you got another 5 minutes here. Let God show you steps to obey His Word. Say, okay, what do I do with this? And think, okay, now what can I do? God just spoke to me. How can I make this better? How can I make sure I obey Him? And then finally, do some praising and do some singing. All right? Now, this is an hour of prayer. Can you imagine? This is fun. But it's work. Now, I want to show you something. He also, can I go to the next slide there, Patrick? Basically, he gives this part. And this, he has it for each day. And so, you know, so here's Sunday and worship and praise. And what he suggests you do is write this down. And so, when I was doing this morning, I said, okay, God, You're master of my life. And waiting on God, and I wrote down Ephesians 1. You know why? Because in Ephesians 1, remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God chose us, Father chose us, God the Son redeemed us, God the Spirit sealed us. Confession of sins. So I confess some sins to the Lord that I don't want to confess to you. All right? Spiritual warfare. You know, I'm constantly praying, God, deliver me from the flesh, the world, the devil. Claim some promises. I can do all things through Christ. This is what I wrote in my journal. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Ephesians 3:20, He can do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. Psalm 1, blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of godly, stands in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. That's a promise. And then I wrote intercession prayer. I was praying, Lord, help me to preach today. This is what I wrote in my journal. Help me because I need You to fill me. And thank the Lord for leading me. And I want to show you what I wrote in my journal. Okay. Next, please. Okay, the passage, Job 23 and 24. This is what I wrote. Now, what really hit me this morning was He would put strength in me. So God will, if I knew what He thought, He'd put strength in me. I'm not gonna, you know, it's the devil and not God when you just feel down and trodden. See, the Satan will say, you're a sinner, you are no good, you are a nothing burger. Well, that's not God. What does God do? God says, you know, you confess your sins, He'll forgive you of your sins. And then what I thought about, I better write down verse 5. That's why I wrote an arrow down there, because verse 5 comes before verse 6, if you didn't know that. And it says, "And I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. And if I understood his words, he would put strength in me." That just hit me this morning. And so what does that mean? I wrote in my own words, when I meditate on God's word, God strengthens me. So in listening, what can I do to help God's word strengthen me? That's why I wrote, I will seek God's word. I want to know God's word. I'm going to accept his words, and I'm going to will to do his will. And that would strengthen me. Think about that. Get into God's word and let him just build you up, strengthen you. That's what God spoke to me. So it was easy for me to say, well, I'm going to share this at church tonight. And so then I started singing. What was I singing? I don't know, because there's a lot of bad songs. I know a lot of bad songs. And it's really irritating when I wake up in these songs. I'm thinking, why am I singing this? Sometimes because I was in the store and they were playing a song. You know, I was listening. This guy was working on the plumbing. By the way, we got our water fixed. Anybody cares to know? Yes. This guy had a radio going on while I was watching him dig a hole. And it just caught my attention. It was a rock song and something about having a one-night stand. Yeah, like I really need to think about that. What would it be like to have a one-night stand? See, this is what's happening to our generation, folks. They're meditating on things that really no Christian ought to be meditating on. And so you remember songs that do that. So I have to, you know, the best way to put out bad songs in my mind is to bring in new songs. So I just started singing some songs, okay? And you don't have to do this out loud. You can do it out loud when you're by yourself. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not, right? You just sing. So, and I wrote, you know, God, you are so good to me. Now, that was making it easier to come to church this morning. Now, Brother Van Gelderen, you know, he said, okay, do you want to do this for 3 weeks? I wanted to say no because I didn't want anybody calling me. But I thought, I really ought to enjoy this. Because I could have shared with you what I did during the actual time that he was talking through it. Man, did God speak to my heart. I left from there, went down to the cafeteria, and I said, man, and matter of fact, I caught Brother Wayne, and I said, Brother Wayne, this is what God showed me. So, spend time with God. And I know sometimes we sound like a broken record when we say, get in your Bible, pray, go to church. These things are crucial. And I hope I'll be a better Christian as a result of that retreat. And I hope that you will be a better Christian as a result of tonight. And I also hope that we would be a better church. You know, let me just say something, and then I will be quiet. All right? The size of our church means very little to me. Now, I like to have more people as opposed to less people. But the spiritual condition of our church means everything to me. And when I see, even with a large crowd, people living in adultery, people gossiping, people doing wicked things, I don't say, well, yeah, but at least we got a large church. I'm thinking, I need to deal with that. And you know what I can guarantee when I deal with that? We're going to have a smaller church. Did you hear that? When you deal with things like that, you're not adding, you're subtracting. Ultimately, you hope that others will come in. You will be a blessing to this pastor more than anything else if you just walk with God. Amen? Now, Lord, we thank you so much for some of the lessons we learned. And Lord, teach us to pray. Father, it's hard for us to look at the prayers of the Lord Jesus, who would spend the entire night in prayer and not be challenged to be a better prayer warrior. And even when the Lord Jesus said that when you pray, pray to your Father which is in heaven. And Lord, we know that if we ask, we can receive, and if we seek, we can find. If we knock, the door shall be opened. Teach us, Lord. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand our feet. The pianist is going to play. If God has spoken to you in any way and you feel a need to come forward or maybe to sit in your pew and just seek the Lord, whatever your need might be, as the pianist plays, we'll play one verse if no one comes and we'll close the service. But if God's dealing with you, you come.